Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the show. Today is September 16th, 2012. On the last show we was talking about what it looked like and some of the things that was in the throne room of God, what everything looked like there at that particular place that surrounded where God's throne was. Today I'm going to just show you a little more about what we never looked, well, I'm going to put it this way. Nobody never seen God's face, but just what his presence when he chose to show a lot of his presence. And that's in chapter 19 of Exodus and verse 16. I'll show you some of the stuff that goes on when the presence of God is in any area. Verse 16, chapter 19 of Exodus. It says, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning. Now, let me give you a little background on this, what was happening here. Moses had went up to Mount Sinai. God had told him to come up there. He was just one that's going to give him the tablets of stone that the Ten Commandments was written on. It said, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount. That's where Moses was, on Mount Sinai. And the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. They heard it. Now, they refer to that as a trumpet, but it was the voice and the sound coming from the presence and the power of God on that mountain. Verse 17 says, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount, and the mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke therefore ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Now, this is what I want to show you right here. Some of the sights that you would see when God's present, and let me say this, that was just, he just manifested his presence on Mount Sinai. Remember now, this is the God that created everything, all the stuff that we see, stars, the moon, and all of this. So, first of all, I'd like to say this. This was just, in other words, God had to tone down his power or his presence there just to Mount Sinai, because he could have manifested himself all over the whole world of the creation, you know. But he's a consuming fire, so he would have burned up everything. So this is this is what it's saying, that his presence that come from God when he wants to, because remember now, in the throne room, it's a little different scene, even though that same power for God was there. In verse 18, let me repeat myself again. It says, "And the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke." What it was, that whole mountain was smoking, was on fire, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. It was just like if an eagle or something would land at a certain area. But when God's presence showed up there, that whole mountain was on fire. See, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Now, you have seen probably scenes or videos maybe of volcanoes, up a volcano. Now, and how this thing just billows out smoke and fire and molten lava. Now, but this the presence of God was like a fire, like a great fire. And this whole thing, so this whole mountain was on fire because of his presence. You know, in another place that the scripture say that God is a consuming fire. Now, he has to regulate himself, you might say, when he's doing certain things or with people or what have you. But this one of this things here is that he demonstrates, in other words, there's no doubt whenever he shows up or whoever he sends to show up for him, because remember now, we've already established in other in other shows that it wasn't God himself, but it was an angel of the Lord in his presence showing up as God. And so when when God shows up, first thing he does is this. He leaves no doubt who's in control. He leaves no doubt of who's the boss. So it's nobody. You can't come there. You don't come there, buddy. And what's going on? What's up? Oh, what's up, man? No. You know who the boss is when he shows up. So God demonstrates his power. You know, he can amp up or down or whatever the way he wants to. Like I'm saying, he was at that particular time was just manifested on Mount Sinai, but he could do that for the whole world. But he just decided, that's the way he operated, to do that on Mount Sinai. Now, let me go again over here to Exodus 24. This is some parts of this same thing, the scenario that was going on. Well, this was later on. Remember that Moses went up once and got the tablets of stone, and he came down and the people was, you know, they was going into idolatry and all kind of stuff. So he broke the tablet and he had to go back up again. So look at Exodus 24. Let's see a little more. It gives us a little more in depth here how God looked and how the mountain looked when Moses was up there. So let's go to chapter 24, Exodus. Verse 9. As Moses was going back up to the mountain. Verse 9 said, then Moses went up. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw God of Israel, or saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet as it was a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was were the body of heaven in his clearness. Now, remember, this looked more like this time, like it was when John saw him in saw his prisoner's throne in the throne room in heaven. Verse 11 said, and upon the nobles of children of Israel he laid not his hands. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. So God, he kind of didn't exert his power as much here in the press. They wasn't right where he was, but they was where they could see this mountain or see God or see the presence of him. Verse 12 saying, and the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me unto the mountain. Be there, and I will give thee tablets of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them or teach the children, teach the people. Verse 13 says, and Moses rose up and his minister, Joshua, and Moses went up unto the mount of God, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here, or stay here, until we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you, and if any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. In other words, if any problems come up before Moses got back, they could talk to Aaron and Hur. They're judges. Verse 15 said, Moses went up unto the mount, and a cloud covered the mountain. Verse 16 says, and the glory of the Lord abode upon the Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Verse 17 says, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire and on the top of the mount in the eyes children of Israel. Now, remember that the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire. This whole mountain was like fire. This is what it looked like to them. So this is just a little bit of what it's like to be in the presence or close to or near the presence of God, because they couldn't just, in other words, he said in one place that no man can look on his face and live. Nobody know what God's face looked like. It's always covered in glory and fire and what have you. When a being or whatever looks upon or try to look upon God's face. Now, you remember, you always when people are given the description of what's happening around where God is or the throne or whatever, nobody never can give you a description of what his face look like, because it's always covered in glory or in fire. He is so powerful and so holy that no man could look on his face and live. Now, let me show you a little something else while we edit and showing you about when the presence or the power or the authority of God is in a place. In Matthew, after Jesus Christ had been crucified, and verse 28, it says that in the end of the Sabbath, that it would begin to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and other Mary to see the sepulchre. In other words, after Jesus was crucified and was in the tomb 3 days, 3 nights, these women went to visit the tomb that morning, first day of the week. We call it Sunday, day of the sun. It was the first day of the week. Now, chapter 28, Matthew, second verse, say, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and called and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." Now, see, Jesus was in a tomb, in a tomb that was hewed out of the side of a rock or a mountain, and there was a big stone roll over it at the door to cover it, to keep it keep anybody from entering, because the higher ups said they wanted to do that because Jesus had promised that he'd be risen in 3 days, and they think somebody they thought somebody would come and steal the body away and claim that he had been resurrected. So they set that big stone against this opening in this rock, which was a tomb, and they set soldiers and so forth out, or they call them keepers or whatever, to watch over it. Now, let me go verse 2, 28 chapter of Matthew, and say, and he said, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance, or what he looked like, was like lightning, and his raiment of clothes, which was white as snow. And fear, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." That's what I'm telling you about when God shows up, or when he sends his power, whoever is representing God, when they show up, they don't come asking questions, they don't come asking permission, they just show up. And you know who's boss. The power and the authority and the presence of God with these angels was so powerful that these men, they shook. I mean, you're talking about their knees was knocking, and they became as dead men. In other words, this was a real near-death experience. I mean, they couldn't stay there. They couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand there alive in their natural consciousness. I mean, they their bodies, their instinct wanted to get out of the prisons there. They didn't want to be in the prisons of this. This was so much power that, you know, people faint. Something happened, something frightening, something happened. They just pass out and faint. Sometimes they just have a heart attack and die. And they say these guys became as dead men. And so that's some of the things that happen when the power in the prisons of God shows up. Now, let me show you a little different here. Now, the next verse, verse 5. So, and the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified." Now notice it's different here. These angels did not exert that same power when it came to these women, because he wanted to talk to them. See, if he had exerted the same, now they was fearful, but he let them know who was boss, but he didn't exert his power like he did before these keepers, before these soldiers. And so he said in verse 5, "Fear not," this is what he said to the women when they got there. "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." You see how things change here. You know, it's they tone down their power. They can amp up, tone down, or whatever. They can come, and sometime if they want to, they can come just as an ordinary person. You won't even know that they're angels or what have you. But they have the power and they have the authority to raise the vibrations of that power, or to lower it, or whatever they want to do. So this is some of the ways that and some of the ways that things will the angels and God will manifest themselves. But when, always remember this, anytime God shows up or his angel shows up, he never leave no doubt of who is the boss. They don't come around asking, people don't come around asking, you know, who are you, what are you doing here, whatever. He comes around with the power, and they know, people know right then and there that there's somebody there a lot bigger than them, that they can take off, they can take their life away or what have you in a split second. Matter of fact, there's another scripture prophecy that was telling about when God comes, when Jesus comes back, or when God starts showing up, and the people on earth was going to see it, and they was going to go to the rocks and try to hide. You know, they want to dig a hole. They want to get, you know, they want to get out of the presence of God. That was when he said that there coming a time when the heavens, other words, you can look up. The heavens gonna roll back like a scroll, and they gonna see the presence of God, and it's gonna be so powerful. They're gonna people on earth are gonna be trying to hide themselves, and they're gonna go and say it, the scripture say that they're gonna ask the rocks to fall on them and hide them from the face of God. So there's never any doubt of who was in charge when God shows up. Remember back here in the book of Exodus when Moses when God had told Moses he wanted to send him down to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And he asked, Moses asked him, or the angel, who must I tell them that said that? And the answer was, tell them that I am sent you. Now, that didn't sound like too much, did it? Just say, I am. But when you look at it, it had a lot of meaning. It had all the meaning in the world. So, in other words, he said, I am. Ain't nobody else, you know, nobody else bigger than me. Nobody else larger than me. Nobody else greater than me. I am. And that's it. And see, that's when God shows up in these places, come on these mountains, and the mountains on fire, whatever, see, that's that I am power. That's that I am presence. No questions. There's no doubt. There's no nothing. When he comes in, you just say, I am. Why? Because if he's I am, it's nobody bigger, nobody greater, nobody before him. So he doesn't have to answer to anybody else. So I am. He didn't say, when Moses asked him that, he didn't say, he said, well, I am, but if you don't believe me, you're going to ask so and so. No. That was the end. That was the beginning of it. And that was the end of it. I am. And he had the power. And he's going to let them know that if there's any questions, he would quell all doubt about who he was. So when he spoke the word, I am. That's it. Now, if anybody has any doubt, then he can manifest his power to the degree that he wants to. If he don't want to kill all of them at one time, or people at one time, or whatever. But trust me, he gets the attention. So that's the power of the I am word, the I am phrase. And that is the beginning of it, and that's the ending of it, of who he is. I am. And when he get ready to manifest himself, this is when this power and this fire and what have you emanates from God in his presence. Now remember something. God made all this other stuff. I told you that once before when we know it. But let's just take one little thing. I'll say it's a little thing, but it's a great thing, but it's small to God. Look at the sun. This is a huge ball of fire. It's a continuing eruption of tremendous heat and fire that you can't even explain. Now, I'm going to talk about that probably in some of these lessons, but I don't have time now. So now, if the sun is as great and as powerful as it is, and then there's somebody who made it and who have control of it, you know, God could just pluck it out like he would blow out a match. So God has so much more power than the sun. I mean, you can't even imagine it. But now a lot of people, they would rather, they see these great things like the sun, and they would worship the sun because it's so much greater than them. But if you want to get to the real power, worship the one who created the sun. So this is another little thing showing you about what God looks like, what God acts like, in the power of God. Okay, see, my time's about up. See you next time.